Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome this evening to the KS radio station, the segment of love, forgiveness, and second chances. This is Valerie Harris, your hostess for this evening. And I also want to welcome you to the year 2020. We expect great and mighty things to happen in this year. Let us go before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for another time of gathering, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that for every opportunity and the privilege of speaking your word, Lord God, and coming together, Lord God, just as a body, for we hunger for you, Lord God, and we hunger for your presence. We ask the Holy Spirit to come and take control of this line. I cover each and every person with the blessed blood of Jesus Christ, and I speak life and blessing and abundance upon every hearer, every listener of this, of your word, of your children across the land, Lord God. Father, we lift up the name of Jesus because it is only his name that will draw men unto you. So, Father, we are grateful. We're thankful, Lord God, for the abundance of your blessings. And, Father, more than anything, we desire your presence. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. Amen and amen. It's always an honor and a privilege that God has bestowed upon me to be able to come to a place to just talk about our Father. And talk about the kingdom of God and to break bread with my sisters and brothers. And those, if there's anyone new to the line, we want to just welcome you. I want to talk about Moses on tonight and the children of Israel. If you're a student of the Bible, if you have heard this story before, the children of Israel were in bondage to Egypt, and God raised up Moses to send him back into Egypt, where he grew up in Pharaoh's house. But he was a Hebrew, and the people of Israel were in bondage, and he sent Moses back into the land to deliver his people. And God did that with a mighty hand. He showed himself strong in signs and miracles and wonders. And he brought them out. And he had a land prepared for them, a place for them to go. He parted the Red Sea when the Egyptians were running after them to take out their lives. And so we see things that we just don't see today. But it's a wonderful, beautiful story of how God delivered his people out of bondage. The thing that I want to talk about tonight is their journey and their relationship with God. God, with everything that he did for his people, they grumbled, they complained, and they seemed to be never satisfied. And that's hard for me to imagine when you see God moving the way he did. He killed the Egyptian army. He drowned them all in the Red Sea, the horses and the chariots. He brought plagues upon their land. And it's hard for me to even imagine that his chosen people would grumble and complain along the way. He made sure they had water, their clothes didn't wear out. He caused manna to fall from heaven so that they'd have enough food to eat. And this wasn't a small group of people. This may have been a million people or so that were crossing the land, going to the promised land, to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Moses had been banished to another land before he went back. And he spent time, but it was when he was in that wilderness place that he had an encounter with God. He saw the burning bush and he went up to pique his curiosity and he wanted to know what bush there was that was on fire but it didn't burn. And he heard a voice. He heard God speak to him for the very first time, and it changed his life forever. And God called him as a deliverer. Moses, in his relationship with God, he watched what God was doing, and he learned to trust God in what he was saying. When he was at the banks of the Red Sea and he didn't know what to do, he heard God tell him, stretch out your rod, and the waters parted. Moses believed God. Moses walked with God, and he was the voice speaking to the people. But they had eyes to see, but they weren't satisfied. Well, they were coming up to this mountain. And God had told Moses that he was going to come down and speak to his people. He was going to speak to Moses where the people could hear his voice so that they would know that he was God. And God gave Moses instructions. He told Moses to consecrate the people because he was going to come down the mountain and allow the people to hear his voice. So on the first day, Moses came back down from that mountain and he consecrated the people. And the second day, the people were supposed to wash and cleanse their clothes. And the third day was when God was going to meet with them. He was coming for a visit. Now, to consecrate simply means to set apart for God. And so they had to prepare themselves. They had to deny themselves. And with anticipation, he'd given them instructions and rules. He told them not to touch the mountain. There was a barrier built up around the mountain that guarded them to keep them from crossing over to that mountain, because he also instructed them that if they were to touch it, if the livestock would touch that mountain, that they would die. And so on the third day, Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, let me back up just a little bit, because God was coming down this mountain, and the people heard him, and they saw that the mountain was on fire, but it didn't burn. They saw smoke, and they got afraid. And they told Moses, Moses, you go, and you talk to God for us. And they wouldn't go. And you would think that when they heard that and they found themselves afraid, that they would surely know that that was the God that delivered them. So Moses in Exodus 19:3-6, God tells them to speak to the house of Jacob and to tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For the earth, all of the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So here's another instruction. God told Moses to tell the people, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, that was a promise that he made them, that they'll be called a peculiar treasure above all people. For everything belonged to God. And then he said that he was going to call them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Does that sound familiar to you? First Peter 2:9. And these scriptures are speaking to the believers of today, of everyone that comes to Christ. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So in Exodus, God is speaking to a people, a chosen people, that he has called out of bondage, sending them across a land, a journey to a promised land. And somehow or another, they missed it. What should have taken them an 11-day journey took them 40 years until that generation died out. And the next generation was able to go in. They had cried to God for so many years to set them free. And he heard their cry, and he answered their cry. But they never gave God their heart. They grumbled and complained as if God owed them something. They built a golden calf to serve another god, something they could see, something they could touch, as if the signs and the miracles and the wonders that he performed didn't mean anything. And in coming unto now, he tells us, as a believer, that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. The same thing that he told the people back then, God has not changed his mind because he's looking for people that he can bless. And those are the ones that he sent his son to die for, that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, with Jesus being the sacrifice. Hebrews 6:13 through 15 says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee.'" So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. It was customary in the Old Testament where they didn't make covenants. But to Abraham, he made him a promise, and he kept his promise. God would never go back on his word. But he said that he couldn't swear by anyone greater than himself. So God made a covenant with himself. And Jesus became the fulfillment of the promise for the world. So when you're looking at this, where am I going with this? What made Moses, Abraham, or David different from the others? Were they perfect? By no means, no. But God had their hearts. When you look at the relationship that Moses had with God, God would talk to Moses face to face. Moses knew his presence, and he heard his voice. And Moses would obey his commands. He followed the instructions. And the one time he didn't, it cost him a trip into the promised land. When God told him to speak to the rock to bring forth water, and he was so angry at the people, he struck the rock. Surely God understood why God wanted to kill these people. He had told Moses, he said, "I'll destroy them all. I'm sorry the day I made them. And I'll build up another nation with you, Moses." And Moses, a mere man speaking to a holy God, said, "God, wait a minute. You can't do that. What would the other people say about you? You brought these people out of bondage just to kill them?" And the scripture said that God repented. He changed his mind. But when Moses went down that mountain, he saw they were building they had built a golden calf. He drew a line in the sand and he said, "Who's on the Lord's side?" And it was about 20,000 people that didn't cross that line. And Moses took out his sword and killed every one of them. Moses was in love with God. And he wanted to honor his name and God's reputation. Abraham, God promised him a son. And then he asked for his life. And Moses waited until he was 100 years old before the promise came that he had that son. But when God required his son's life, Abraham was willing to give it. And he trusted God. And because Abraham trusted God, God provided a ram for the sacrifice. And if a man was willing to give up his son at the request of the Father, God said, I'll give my son instead. David, little shepherd boy, out in the fields with the sheep, worshiping God, believing God, trusting God, following God's instructions, honoring the anointing that was upon the king. Because God had anointed this man. And we know David had faults. They all did. But God said of David, he said, he's the apple of my eye. He had David's heart. And one thing these men had in common is they had a relationship with God. And not only a relationship, they were in love with God. God had their heart. And he would visit them. He made his presence known. At the beginning of every year, so many people pull aside to consecrate their lives. And they're going to fast, or Daniel fast, seeking God. But I was thinking about this because it's so difficult to separate yourself from everything. Because even in the midst of your fasting and your praying and seeking God, many of us have to go to work. Some have children they have to take care of, their household they have to take care of. And so we really don't completely consecrate our lives. We really don't, are unable to, because of duties, really set that time aside for God. Moses separated himself from those people for 40 days to go up into the mountain to get the law. And when he came down and he broke the tablets out of anger, he went back another 40 days and spent that time with God. But even while he was in his presence, he asked God if he could see his glory. If you want more of God, we must make room for him. And we have to take out more of us. Jesus said that we must deny ourselves and take up our cross to follow after him. Jesus would draw away from the crowds and from everything, and he would go and spend time with God. And then when you deny yourself, when you hunger for righteousness, you should be filled. The church needs to be hungry again. Many of our services are void of the hunger of God. because our services are geared to helping people, which is something that should happen. We come to fellowship with one another. But our focus, foremost, should be God. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So in this time of rededication or consecration or fasting and seeking God for direction, let's seek Him for His presence. Let's be hungry for the Spirit of God. Because the more we hunger for righteousness, the more He will fill us. The more we empty ourselves of our surroundings and of our troubles and of this world and concentrate on Him, the more we worship, the more we pray, the more He'll fill us. The laws of God are no longer written on tablets of stone, but they're written upon our hearts. Just like your body needs food to fuel it, we need God's word to fuel our spirit. The Spirit of God no longer dwells in a building. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God's church is built on the Spirit of God. If this is true, we bring the praise. We bring the word. We carry the oil that lights the candle of our spirits. Jesus said when He was departing the earth, He left instructions. And He told His disciples to go, therefore, into all the world and make disciples of men, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, in this journey in life and those who are set apart for the ministry, it's not how big or how well known we are. We must remember is how big and well known our God is. We should never become complacent where God is concerned. We don't want to be like those Israelites on their way to the promised land and never being able to cross over. We can't act like God is doing us a favor or He needs us, because God is God all by Himself. It's only out of His goodness that He chooses us. It's only by His grace that we become part of His family. But we must hunger. And when we get full and we find ourselves out of tune or out of step or becoming complacent, Let's get to a place and get empty so he can pour in fresh oil. Let's hunger for his presence. Let's worship him in spirit and in truth. The church should be the answer for the world. I remember days not so long ago that when you walk on the grounds of a church, you could hear praise and worship going up before a holy God. And you walk in the building of a church, and people's focus was on God. This church I was going to at the time, sometimes the pastor wouldn't even preach because of the presence of God. And people were getting saved. They were getting healed. They were getting delivered. They were being filled. And the praise and worship unto God was so that it touched you and you were in tears or you were at the altar or you would lay prostrate in the floor of the church and people were being slain by the Spirit. And getting up is a brand new creation. In some of our churches, you can walk in and they're talking about everything but Christ. The Holy Spirit is rarely mentioned. We have to get back so our world can be healed. We're just the vessels that God wants to use. When he tells us to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify him, that our labor won't be in vain, and that he be glorified, we should be like dead men walking. None of us, Lord, but all of you. We don't come looking for what's in his hands. I don't need a car. I'm not looking for wealth and riches. Because he said that if we would seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, then all the things will be added unto our lives. God, you alone should sit on the throne of our hearts. And if you're not, Father, forgive us. And restore unto us the joy of our salvation. And as many have consecrated their lives, help us, Father, to make room for you, that we might hear your voice and that we might be filled in the empty places and in the broken places, that we will follow after you, O Lord, that we become your holy nation, your peculiar people, that we would be your hands and your feet in the earth, that we would hear your voice and that we will obey your instructions. Father, I thank you for ministering to me on today, Lord, because my desire is to more of you, God, and less of me. All of you, Lord, and none of me. God, I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in the name of Jesus. I hope that something on tonight has been said that will draw you ever more closer to God. That we would examine our lives and examine our hearts to see if we're hungry, if we're missing something, if we feel void of something, if there's something that we're just not satisfied with, let's draw nearer to Him. He said if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. Let that be our prayer and our desire. Amen. The lines are open. If there's anyone with a prayer request or anyone that has anything to say or any questions, this is your time.
Thank you, Sister Valerie, for your great, great teaching tonight. It was really beautiful. And I do have a prayer request. I received a text message from one of my friend girls, and she asked that we pray for her daughter's nephew, Stormy. He is 1 year old, and it says he just had heart surgery. He had pneumonia, and it attacked all of his organs. The heart surgery was a success, and he's recovering, but he wasn't breathing on his own. But he is now, so we ask him for a prayer for him to have a speedy recovery. He's had his surgery today. So thank you for great teaching. That's my prayer request. His name is Stormy, and he's 1 year old. Thank you, dear. Very good word tonight.
Thank you. Any other prayer requests? Wherever you are, let's come in agreement for Stormy, because there's nothing too hard for God. Father, we thank you on tonight, Lord. And Father, as we come, Lord, touching and agreeing, we lift up Stormy before you, God. He's your son, Lord. And Father, you allowed the surgery to go well, Father. But Father, you are the breath of life. And we pray, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, that you would fill his lungs, O God, with your breath. Breathe upon Stormy, Lord God, in this hour, Lord. Restore unto him his life. Restore unto him his health, O God. We bind every infirmity in the name of Jesus. And God, I heard on the news today that there were over 30 children who have died of the flu. Lord, I lift them up as well, Lord. God, build a hedge around these babies, Father, in the name of Jesus. Your word said that your children shall lead us, God, that your praise shall be perfected through them. And so, Father, cause the hand of death to stay. Take a hold of death, Lord. And rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we praise you and we honor you for Stormy's life. Father, we pray that you would raise him up, God, and use him, Father, as a mighty force in this land. That he will perfect your praise, O God. And that he will follow you, Lord, all the days of his life. I pray, Father, that the faith of his family will not fail, but they will look unto the hills which come at their help. Father, I pray peace in the hospital room, God. Send forth your angels to stand guard and to minister to Stormy, Father. We speak your word, Lord. We send your word because you said that it would not return unto you void, but you'll watch over it to perform it. We thank you, Father. We trust you, Lord. We believe that you will because we know you can. We wait for a good report, Father, but we thank you and we praise you in advance. Lord God, I thank you for Stormy's life. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. The lines are still open. Anyone else? Ooh. Oh, Lord, just fill the room with your glory. Jesus. Only you. Only you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, y'all pretty quiet tonight. That's okay. That's okay.
Great call, a great teaching.
Amen.
Amen.
That's such an anointing on the line. That's why it's so quiet. That anointing is going to, it's just moving through. Yes, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Amen. And thank you for your great teaching, my sister. Thank those who are listening, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will keep us continuously to stand before him. Remember, we've been talking about strongholds. And the teaching you gave tonight was beneficial. I want to thank you. I want to thank every listener for being here. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Before we go, Father, I just want to thank you for every ministry, Lord. I want to thank you for all of your chosen ones, Father, who stand on the battle lines and who stand in the gap for others. Father, I pray that you would refresh them, revive them, restore them, fill them, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. That, Father, you would take us into another realm of the Spirit in you. Not just so that we can just be there, Lord God, but so that we can have more of you in our lives. And that we would follow after you. For you said that we are ambassadors of Christ. So use our hands, Lord. Use our feet, use our lives, that you might be glorified. That your desires would be fulfilled. We thank you, God, for your word on tonight. We thank you for the fire of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for the blood of your Son that covers us and your angels that watches over us. Lord, I pray that even when we sleep, Father, you would give us dreams and visions and that we would spend time with you, oh God. I give you the glory, I give you the honor, and I give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. What a teaching. My God. Amen. Thank you, Sister Valerie. Thank you, Sister Valerie. The Lord use your lips to let the word flow down. Thank you. Thank you, Sister.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Without you, it couldn't be done. But because of who you are, we just say thank you, Holy Spirit. You're the one that's in control of everything on this earth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Looking unto Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going back on mute. God bless you.
Okay, well, I know I'm going to be thinking about this word. That's what I've been thinking about all day, just his presence. Just want more of it. Reflecting on how hungry I was when he first came and brought me out of dark. Sometimes get too busy. And so I know this word was for me. Truly was. And I want to live out my day serving God. I want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I know that that's the desire of every person on this line. So I'm going to say good night. Be blessed. And we'll talk again soon. Have a great year. A great night.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Good
Amen.
Night. Love you guys.
Love you. Thank you for the word.
You're more than welcome.
Love y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good night.